shuts it at the 1 yard line. Picked off by Malik Mustafa, who is taking the place of Hufanga.
Because I'm lit, right?
Come on, man. You got Larry June in the building. You listen to the Morning Roast. And we're doing numbers, man. Good job, Morning Roast. Sock it to me. Hey, 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 hey. Yeah.
Speaking of Larry June, the most wanted tickets to the Bay Area are here. It's Hip Hop Made the Bay. Starring Too Short, Ja Rule, Bone Thugs, and DJ Quick. Friday, November 1st at the SAP Center. Tickets sell it fast. Get yours now at Ticketmaster.com. We've taken a lot of calls this week about Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy. Well, what did you think about Kyle Shanahan and how he had this team prepared to play? What about Nick Sorensen and his defense? Did he put players in the right spots? I think for the most part, he did. What about the coaching staff here? There was a lot made about the coaching staff. Shanahan and Sorensen. I thought they were solid yesterday.
They were great, I thought, yesterday. I actually really did think they were great yesterday, both of them. I thought they played a complimentary brand of football yesterday. I think that Sorensen, given all of the injuries and all the young players in and out of the lineups, did a great job. Now, were there some miscues by Geno Smith? Absolutely. I think he felt pressure, though. I think he was feeling pressure early and often in this game. Kenneth Walker was breaking tackles. Mm-hmm. And I thought the Niners did a great job of gang tackling him. He's a beast.
Right.
He's a really good player. There was a play early in the game where DK came across on a crosser on zone play. And you could just tell, like, 59 just doesn't pick it
defense,
up.
Yeah.
And he just goes Devondre right
Campbell.
Around him.
Yeah, it was one of the first third downs. You're thinking, and we're all thinking, like, Devondre Campbell, really?
Well,
he didn't play the second half.
But that's...
He didn't play a lot of snaps in the second half. So the movement there at that other linebacker spot, because Kansas City's on deck. And you know, they're going to, Andy Reid's looking at number 59. 59's not going to play much against Kansas City.
No.
I think the shift has been made. The move has been made to not play a lot of Devondre Campbell, because even against the run, he's not physical at the point of attack.
He's not
getting his shoulder in there. I don't know what's up with Devondre Campbell, but he's not playing well. The teams are picking on him.
No doubt. And then the other big takeaway, and this is just me, because I'm an old school kind of a guy. We can talk about the white jerseys, and they're awesome, and I freaking love them. Like, I just do. On certain games, I freaking love them. It, for me, and we've seen it now back-to-back weeks, the logo. The old school subtle logo without the gold accents. I'm talking the SF with the circle, where it's black and red and white.
Yep.
It's just simple.
Classic.
Simplistic.
Yep.
And look, I understand why they have the gold accents on the crown. They need to go back to the OG logo and just make that the permanent logo. You did
no
it with
doubt.
The font. You've got the 49ers font, the saloon font we all love. The gold accents are in there. You don't need to have it. Go back. The helmet last night just looked glorious.
Well, you know your boy Tommy Call, our former producer here at 95.7 The Game, Tommy Call. He had a tweet yesterday. He was spot on.
What was the tweet? I missed it.
Thursday Night Football should always require throwback jerseys from the teams. The week before it was Atlanta, and they had the old school helmet in midfield. Last night, Seattle with the classic blue and gray pants and the old school helmet at midfield and the old school logo in the end zones. Thursday should be throwback day in the NFL. Like the color rush, but instead you have throwback jerseys.
I mean, Seattle's jerseys were glorious.
Glorious. It was a great uniform game.
They need to go back to those.
Yeah, it was a great uniform game. Or at least do it on Thursday, like Denver last week against the Raiders.
I mean, come on.
That uniform game with the Raiders and the Broncos was beautiful. So next week you get Broncos Saints. Give me a great uniform game. Give me the sky blue helmets with the all-white that John Elway used to rock in Denver. And then you get the Saints with their old-school look, the black and gold, and the gold helmets. The week after, you got the Minnesota Vikings and the L.A. Rams. Give me a classic uniform game. Thursdays should be throwback day. And I'm stealing that from Tommy Call, who came up with the great idea. I was like, that is genius. It's so, like, it's right there for you, NFL, and it's a money maker.
The Niners should have four uniforms. It's pretty simple to me. The basic red and gold.
Yep.
The basic gold and white.
Yep.
And then the all whites, and then the red with the shadow, and the all white. Well, obviously, he's going to have the shadow as well.
No doubt.
That's it. And I would go back to the original logo and just keep it simple. The Niners, like Green Bay, is similar. You're like the Yankees. Your uniforms are vintage. Now, when you're the Arizona Cardinals, do whatever you want. You got no history.
No doubt.
Have 1,000 jerseys all I care.
No doubt.
You know, but teams with the vintage uniforms, don't shy away from it. Now, Seattle, for a long time, I defended their uniforms. I was like, you know, they don't have a great history. I get why you'd want to revamp it and do something unique.
And their uniforms are good for that stadium and everything, but now's the time to make that shift.
I mean, those were sweet. And Mike McDonald on the sideline wearing the throwback pullover, 1990s. Nike throwback pullover.
Like Chuck Knox.
It was amazing.
Like Chuck Knox. He did look good in that.
Somewhere Jim Zorn was smiling.
Oh, dude, those are classic,
Kurt Warner. And I'm talking about running back Kurt
Warner. Yep, the running back out of Penn State. Let's go to the lines. J.J. Cocker. What up, J.J.? You're on the roast. Oh, let's go to Nick and Berkeley. Nick and Berkeley instead. Nick and Berkeley, what's happening? Nick and Berkeley, you there? We got the phone lines up. What's up, What we got? Come on, love it. Let's go. Come on, baby. J.J. Cocker, what's happening?
What's up, boys? Oh, my God. What a great win. I cannot believe it. I got to tell you two quick things. One, I don't think a regular season football game has ever felt so long in my entire life. My entire life. I don't care. We're up 23-10, and I'm like, oh, here we go. Seen this song before. Heard this one. Been at this dance. Like, oh, my gosh, here we go. Right up to the very end. I'm losing my mind. Can't believe what's going on. Pulled out a victory. This morning feels amazing. I got to tell you guys, I was really starting to worry. Like, this is it. We're on the backside of the hill. Things are sliding down. I got to tell you, I feel refreshed. I'm going to leave you with one final thought.
Go ahead.
You know, I used to coach for about 10 years, and, you know, I just want to – my heart's going out to Kyle Shanahan, and I hope he's seeing what I'm seeing, that, you know, it's hard to see as a coach what you don't want to see, but, bro, you got some running backs. Use those running backs. You don't have to lean on one guy all season long. Let's get it done, Niners. Let's go.
Coach,
have a great Friday, everybody.
Coach, before you go, I want your feel on this. Is it not every running back can just go into the game, you know, once every blue moon and just see the hole? There's a feel element to it. I thought Guarendo got more comfortable. I thought he was good yesterday, but he got more comfortable as the game went on. Could you sense that same thing that I sensed?
Absolutely. Come on. Like, and, you know, as a coach, you know, you always want to say, I know this guy's the best guy on the field. I have absolute confidence in him, you know. But, you know, once in a while you get put in situations where you're like, all right, well, I got to put this guy in now. And when you see it, you got to let it happen now, coach. Come on.
No doubt.
I love all of our backs. Let's use them all. Let's get them going.
You know, a running back needs a rhythm. And I thought Guarendo, after having some hairy moment, you could tell he was a little cautious early on in that football game once Jordan Mason went out. And early on his runs, it just looked like he was just trying to protect the football, trying not to make a mistake. And so they went away from him for a couple minutes. And then went back to Patrick Taylor Jr., who I thought ran hard yesterday. Had a good catch in the pass game, one catch, 9 yards. But on the run, in the run game, I thought Patrick Taylor ran hard, fell forward. And I was like, all right, these are some tough yards. Then he got nicked up, and Guarendo came back into the football game. And Shanahan mentioned Raheem Mostert. After the game, said he's just a hair slower than Raheem Mostert. Well, I got Raheem Mostert vibes on that big-time run late in the football game to kind of ice it there. That run, the way his form was, I was like, wow, look at I don't even think he got the top-end speed on that play. Guarendo could be a factor, and I see what the hype is all about. Now, he's had some injury history so far in his rookie tenure, but he was very, very solid yesterday. I thought the running backs ran hard against Seattle.
Well, if we've learned anything about just football, the league, as great as CMC is, and I get it. He's an unbelievable player, and you never want to take him off the field. But, boy, if you could just find a way, and it's tough because circumstance, game, the flow, there's a lot of elements that you're juggling all these things at once on the sideline.
Yep.
But if you could find a way to just work in Mason and work in Guarendo. I'm looking at this situation right now with the Niners, and I'm saying to myself, if CMC can come back even a little at any point this year, Mason and CMC, Who's got a better running back than that?
Well, now you got Garrido, who's got experience on the big stage there in a moment where they absolutely needed him, because Mason went down yesterday with a shoulder injury, and we all thought, damn, who's the backup? What's going on here? Was it a stinger? And he doesn't play late in the second half. And it was smart by Shanahan with two games in 4 days. You don't want to wear Mason out. This mini bye is going to be really good for him. Get him some fresh legs. Let him just chill and get off his feet for a little bit. But working in Patrick Taylor Jr. and Isaac Garrido. Now, they're probably going to be bringing a running back next week. Anyway, just to be safe. They're going to have to bring in a running back. Maybe you call Matt Breida. Maybe it's Keyshawn Vaughn off the practice squad. But there's something about Shanahan and Bobby Turner, the running back coach. The Shanahans and Bobby Turner, who've been together since the days in Denver, the early days in Denver. They know how to get running backs prepared for their moments, man. And there's not a lot of drop-off in the run game when it comes to just pure rushing. Bobby Turner, Kyle Shanahan, Mike Shanahan. They know what to do with running backs, man. That's one position they got down.
They've missed on some mid-round running backs, but they've always found a guy in the same season that they missed someone. You know what I mean? It's so odd how they figure it out. Let me ask you another draft question, because I'm watching the game, and the kicker, signed out of nowhere, was brilliant
Matthew
yesterday.
Wright.
Now, I don't know if he was injured on that final play?
Yeah, he was injured. He went to the locker room.
So what? Did we get any... update?
He's banged up, and he got a mini bye, and you may have to bring in another kicker. Who knows?
Great.
And they gave him that whack-ass number 35 number.
I think he chose that whack-ass number.
That number was terrible. On a kicker 35?
Well, when I say 35, what do you think of? I'm the Niners.
Dexter Carter.
That's the first name I think of.
Oh, man.
1990 first-round pick, Florida State.
Yeah.
But you know what,
he has the same birthday as me, September 15th.
There is an element as I'm watching that kicker kick a bunch of kicks, and I see Chase McLaughlin still in the league, and he's been pretty good this year. And I get it. If you draft the right guy, you have him for a decade. But it's hard for me to sit here and justify taking a third-round kicker in Jake Moody when you can find unbelievable players that can help your team in the third, fourth. You can easily miss. I'm not saying it's an automatic that you're hitting. But, God, kicker feels so replacement player level.
Moody's special, man. The distance he can kick from. And Moody had a great year season ago. I don't think he missed an extra point until the Super Bowl. I'm not mad at the kicker spot. I think, you know, Wisnowski, for example, we discussed this. Nobody's going to talk about Wisnowski today, right?
Yeah, but
nobody's
going to
say. He was huge. He was huge yesterday.
Yeah, no, he was good.
Like Damon and SF yesterday called and he dropped off. And the caption was, Wisnowski is the X factor. And every time Wisnowski had a kick yesterday, a punt, and it got down inside the 10-yard line, I thought of Damon and SF. We didn't even take the damn call. And I thought, but this guy was onto something. He called him being an X factor. So that was big time yesterday. Let's go to Tony in San Francisco. Tony, what's happening? You're in the Morning Roast here on 95.7 The Game.
Man, what's up, fellas? It sure feels good, doesn't it? Oh, my God.
Feels great.
Feel the same way.
You know what's a crazy statistic? That we're still Seattle's up 30-22 in wins to losses. Still, after all this time, they're still up in 8 games. We got to get that to even. We got to even up with them, man. We've got a long way to go still to be even with them. I just don't get it.
You mean all time?
All time, 30-22.
They're
still ahead of us.
Who cares?
Can you believe it? I do. I can't stand that they're ahead of us.
Oh, okay.
But it was. No. It was awesome seeing, you know, that just get back to basics, right? It's all about the O-line. Keep those holes open.
Yeah.
Pound the ground game, you know, and then that pass rush was unbelievable. Bosa was a beast. Fred Warner was a monster. That's how you win games, man. That was beautiful. I loved it.
That was beautiful. I'm going to get back to something that, J.J. in Concord, because we all felt it. He talked about 23-10. He started feeling like, oh, here we go again. But how about the Niners? And I do want to give them credit for this. Special teams is one element, and I get it. And we're going to give out a jersey in just a second. 7:30, we're ready to go and win. We're going to go. You know what? We'll just do it right now. It's that time. 10th caller to the contest line at 415-523-4652. 415-523-4652. You will win a jersey presented by Habba's Law, because Habba's Law always puts people in the best position to win. When the red and gold win, you win. So go ahead and call 415-523-4652. Be the 10th caller to call in, and you will win a jersey, my friend. Before we go back out to the lines, I do want to give the Niners credit for this. They don't give up the touchdown before halftime, which I thought was massive. DK's heel is, or toe is barely out of bounds, like Kevin Durant, right? If his shoe size is a half inch smaller, maybe he scores that touchdown and it's 16-10 instead of 16-3. Or excuse me, 16-7 instead of 16-3. But it is 16-3, and the Niners come out and receive the second half kickoff. And I don't want this possession to get lost on anybody. They go 9 plays of 70 yards. You had some great balance there. You had the big play to George Kittle on the 29-yarder in which he's looking for contact. Instead of going out of bounds, he's looking for contact, and he's looking to run somebody over. Those are type tone-setting type of plays right there. So you come in at halftime, and you score a touchdown. And you rectify the red zone woes right away, even though you run the ball on first and 10 from the 17. Even though you run the ball on first down there, you still score a touchdown. And I'm thinking to myself, 23-3, completely dominant, but you give up the kickoff return. Those are the type of plays that can lose your football games. So you go from 23-3. The crowd is completely quiet. Geno Smith is rattled. You're completely dominant, and you give up the 97-yard kickoff return. That's a bugaboo right there.
Well, it felt like a huge momentum shift.
Yep.
And you brought life right back into the game for them. Again, it reminded me very much of when Moody went. So they blocked the field goal last week, and Diomino runs it all the way back. And then on the very next play, which is the kickoff, Jake Moody gets plastered, and you're seeing him hobble off the field. You could feel the air getting sucked out of the place. Like, oh, my gosh, we lost our kicker. This one was worse because you gave up a touchdown.
Yep.
And Chenault was sketch all night.
All night. Chenault, who we laughed at yesterday from Colorado.
Of course he ran one back.
Of course he ran one. I thought about that
immediately. Took the worst angle.
Mahoney, he might not be on his team next week. I mean, those are the type of plays that get you cut. When you're a fringe player and you're on special teams and your one job is to tackle and you miss multiple tackles, Mahoney may not be on his team next week. And I'm trying to be nice here. Brendan in Newark. Brendan, what's happening? Nice. You're on the Morning Rush here on 95.7 The Game.
What's going on, guys? I knew it was going to be a good week when my young daughters got to meet Patrick Willis over the weekend at his Topgolf event. But last night was the first night that I saw what I would call complimentary football this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the defense was rolling. Fred Warner, an unstoppable force, first ballot Hall of Famer. Seeing George Kittle and Juszczyk both get in the end zone and then go celebrate with their wives, the dynamic and the personality of the team shone through last night. And it was really, really nice to see Isaac Rendo and Taylor get some realistic play in a game, not a preseason game, not a practice, but actually get out there, shake the rust off, get rid of the fumble worries for Isaac, and hopefully Mason's doing well and we can get right back into a winning way and knock off the Chiefs next week.
Absolutely. We'll get to the Chiefs all next week as it be Chiefs week. There's no doubt we'll set that up. But today we're going to enjoy. We're going to do our own 24-hour rule, Shasky, and enjoy this win over the Seahawks. Again, that's 6 straight wins over Seattle, folks. 6 straight wins. They've started to dominate this rivalry. That's and quietly, Shanahan, he loves playing up there in the Pacific Northwest, or at least coaching up there. Purdy, so far, 3-0 up in the city of Seattle. They own Lumen Field right now.
There's been this thing in the Bay Area where it's like, young players, the tolerance level for mistakes is zero.
Yeah.
And I mean by the older media, and I'm just going to call it how I see it. And it kind of drives me crazy because it tells me that they've, A, forgot where they came from, where you have to kind of, you know, chip your teeth a little, right?
Yeah.
You got to grind your gears a little. You got to go out and you got to sweat. And then, and B, it's like, have you ever played sports? Live reps matter. Live reps matter. And I look at all the great businesses, they talk about what their expenses are. And one of the great expenses for all the best businesses is we invest in people and training and learning on the job. And when I see young players like Malik Mustafa make a play and Renardo Green and Darrell who's on special teams, and Bethune, who gets the recovery, and Isaac Arendo, who gets, because of injury, some opportunities, Dominic Pooney starting, and Jacob Cowan's returning kicks. I say to myself, it's like, look, if you like the player, okay, after you've taken him, if you don't like him, that's a different story. That I understand not playing him, but if you like the player, you got to stay pot committed to giving them opportunities so that after the first quarter, third of the season, you got something, and they have some live reps to build on. And so, yeah, it sucks that Jordan Mason got hurt, and it's unfortunate. But because of that, the silver lining is Guerrero has gotten looks the last couple of weeks, and he got an opportunity to feel some rhythm. And then he gets this big pop, and now the kid can build on that. Renardo Green got, you know, only one snap on Sunday, but yesterday he played a lot, and now he's feeling good, and he makes an interception. Malik Mustafa played on Sunday. He's feeling good. He makes a big interception. Now he got hurt, and that sucks. But, like, when guys get an opportunity to showcase themselves, that's when they feel good. Well, so now week 10, week 13, you're going to reap the rewards of playing those guys early. And yeah, you're going to have some ugly moments. You got to be pot committed so that you can reap the rewards down the line.
You know what? It's such a good point. And I want to add to that. The one thing this regime has done very well in terms of Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch and the Adam Peters and the Rand Carthons, but one thing this regime has done very well, and they have been committed to, is playing youngsters. Dominic Pooney is a starting right guard. He's a youngster. All right? Rookie. Once upon a time, Fred Warner was a rookie. And what happened with him? He started his first ever football game in the NFL, and he hasn't left the field since. Okay? So this is going back to 2017. Reuben Foster. Why did we fall in love with Reuben Foster? They played him right away. Even though it was an expansion team, they played him right away. C.J. Beathard got reps. We were able to find out who's good, who's not good at a very early stage. Akella Witherspoon found out whether or not he could play corner. Adrian Colbert. This goes back to 2017, their first ever draft and their first ever team. Then you move on to 2018. I'll go quickly here, Shasky. Mike McGlinchey. He played 5 years for the 49ers. Was it great? No, but he played a youngster. Fred Warner, who I mentioned. Tarvarius Ward was playing big-time snaps in a Super Bowl. All right, DJ Reed, who's now a good player with the New York Jets. They gave him a shot, moved off him probably too early. He's with the Jets. Turned out to be a good player. But the Shanahans and Lynches give these young players opportunities. Julian Taylor, the DN for Temple. Richie James Jr., right? We got to figure out. Marcel Harris. The next year, Nick Bosa, Deebo Samuel, Mitch Wisnowski, Jalen Hurd, Dre Greenlaw, who got to play that rookie year because of an injury, and he got ripped. So by the time the Super Bowl came around, Dre Greenlaw's flying around. And by year two, it's like, yeah, he's in linebacker to pair next to Fred Warner. How about Justin School? All right. How about Caden Smith? And then the list goes on. Kinlaw, Ayuk, McKivich, Warner, Jennings. The list goes on in 2021. All right. Aaron Banks, he redshirts, but he plays his second year. Trey Sermon, you figure out early on, he's not a good running back. I could go on and on and on. The Shanahan-Lynch regime, they give opportunities to youngsters all the time. It's not like the Giants yo-yoing guys back to Sacramento, right? The Warriors, they've had trouble playing youngsters because you got a championship core. So it's been tough to play the youngsters, and the tolerance level's been short for a lot of fans, right? It's like, I don't know, they're making mistakes here and there. The Niners have allowed their youngsters to play through their mistakes at a very young age, either as a rookie or a second-year player. So give Shanahan and Lynch credit because they do give youngsters an opportunity to make the play, opportunities to make plays.
And if you look at the league, like when you're balancing out your books, if you're going to pay Bosa and Warner mega money, you better have some rookies on rookie deals that are impacting, right? You got to have some cheap labor. That's just, I mean, it's just a reality. You got to balance your books. So I'm looking at this defense, right? Just moving forward. And this is what I'm encouraged with by yesterday's game. Bosa and Warner, expensive, all-time players in their prime. D'Amore Lenore needs to get paid.
Oh, he will.
I am circling him. He is a stud. I think he's like he's a little younger than
he's
those other guys.
Paid.
But if I go with Mustafa Green and get Bethune back in there, I'll get some flashes from Okawanu and Robert Beal. All right, I think I'm cooking with something. I think I've got a little something on defense. I think we're faster than we give credit for when you play the young guys.
Yeah, D'Amore Lenore, fifth round pick. You played him right to figure out whether or not
he's
a stud.
Good. Bonte, I love him.
Avery Thomas. You played him to figure out, is he good or not?
He's not.
We found out who he was.
Yeah.
But he got an opportunity to play. Drake Jackson got opportunities to play. Danny Gray couldn't get on the field, but you got an opportunity. Found out you just wasn't good enough. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Sammy Wolbeck. You found another corner here, Renardo Green. And again, I think moving forward, when we talk about Brock Purdy, because we haven't talked about Brock Purdy enough in his performance, whether or not you pay Brock Purdy and give him all the money, don't you feel a lot better about paying him because you are able to draft in the seventh round? You are able to draft in the sixth round. You are able to draft in the fifth and the fourth round here. Isaac Grindel, fourth round pick, contributed yesterday. Malik Mustafa, fourth round pick, contributed in a major way yesterday. Renardo Green, a second round pick like Deebo Samuel, contributed yesterday. this regime knows how to draft in the middle rounds, in the late rounds, and they deserve a lot more credit, Shanahan and Lynch, for developing talent in this league in high leverage situations. It's not like this team has been playing in, you know, 1 o'clock games the entire time. They played in primetime games. They've played deep in the playoffs, and these youngsters have had to contribute in the highest stakes. Lynch and Shanahan deserve a lot more credit for that.
The Purdy road stuff is actually interesting to me. Specifically, these big marquee games on the road where everyone's waiting for his downfall. Think Philly last year in the rain. Was everyone waiting for his downfall in that game?
Absolutely.
I thought he was awesome in that game. I mean, awesome in that game. Obviously, Debo's the headliner and whatnot. But then I think about, like, hey, the Super Bowl, I thought he was pretty good. Considering the moment and considering that a lot of guys didn't step up in the game, Shasky, I thought he was pretty good.
His first ever road start was a hat and t-shirt game in Seattle with broken ribs.
That's where I was going with this. And then last night, like, on the road, that I gotta have it. You have to win that game. He was nearly perfect.
He's been perfect to Seattle.
Just his calmness, his ability to make plays. I thought his feet early on settled in his arm.
Yep.
Because he had that early run when they were backed up against their own end zone. And Shanahan's like, 2nd and 9, we're going to throw the ball. And he just took off. And I was like, all right, Purdy's feeling it right now. And I thought his legs were excellent yesterday. And his arm was even better. And his mind was the best part of him yesterday. Pre-snap, he was brilliant.
888-957-9570. Shameless shoutouts coming up in a few minutes. It is fascinating. The Niners win, and we can't get no calls about Shanahan and Lynch and what they've helped do.
Bosa?
Because a couple of Nick Bosa, who I called out, who's got my game ball for the way he played yesterday. Shout out to number 97. That's what we're talking about. That's what the Niners need all throughout the season. So what he did yesterday, which doesn't show up in the box score, if you just watched the football game, Kirk Herbstreit could not stop talking about number 97. And it was hard not to. 97 was everywhere. So 888-957-9570. Lynch, Shanahan, Purdy, the stars play well. The rookies play well. And boy, it feels good to talk about a win. Oh, it feels good to talk about a win. Let's go to JD in Sacramento. JD, what's happening?
You're on the roast.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Look, I'm the resident Hawk hater here on the roast. You guys know that. And so after seeing what I saw last night, you know I had to call in and give some thoughts. Look, CenturyLink Field used to be a house of horrors for the 49ers up there in Seattle. But now Lumen Field, I'm officially declaring that as Levi's North. That is our new Airbnb in the Pacific Northwest for our yearly vacation up there. We own that place. You hear the Niner fans all over the TV last night with the "Let's Go Niners" chant, and that was just music to my ears. And last but not least, we started a new tradition up there in Seattle last night, known as the Lumen Leap.
Ooh.
Every single time the Niners go up there, every single time we score a touchdown up there in front of those fraudulent 12s, I want to see Niner players jumping into the stands just like Juszczyk and Kittle did. And look, the Seahawks can't do that. That's a 49ers thing now. Every time we go up there into Seattle and take care of business like we did. I know it got a little hairy last night, but we pulled it out. That's our place. That's Levi's North, baby.
It is fascinating to see them take over that field. Just take over. And I like the Lumen Leap. The Lumen Leap. You saw it from Kyle Juszczyk yesterday. George Kittle going into the suite. It was great that their wives are right there in the suite. And to go up there and call it the Lumen Leap? Ooh, I like that.
You know, that stadium's so cool.
Oh, it's great.
I hate admitting that.
Have you ever been up there?
No, and I'm so jealous to that stadium. I'm so jealous of how it looks on the broadcast.
Well, not only does it look great.
It looks incredible, Monte.
You could fly up there, right? And say you don't want to rent a car. You go up to the Seattle airport, whatever they call it up there. Seattle-Tacoma International, whatever it is. You just walk over to the train. You get on their version of the subway. And you take it through the city of Seattle. They'll drop you off at Lumen Field in 30 minutes. And getting in that stadium, it took Anna and I less than 5 minutes to get in that stadium.
Really?
Less than five. We walked over from Union Train Station, which is about a 2-block walk, walked in that end zone where it's open air, and we were in there for 5 minutes. We're at our seats at 15. So they hit a home run with that stadium. There's no doubt about it. Right next to T-Mobile Park, whatever they call it, the old formerly known as Safeco Field up there where the Mariners play. It's perfect. It is perfect. But it's even better when you see all that red up there taking over that stadium. My, how the times change.
My favorite part of victory, whatever, Fridays, Mondays, Tuesdays this year.
Yeah, they call it the Link, the best train system all around. It goes through the city, Shaska. It's really fascinating. It's really cool.
But my favorite part about winning games like this is seeing all the non-Raider fans who take the time out not only to just listen to us, but to text in all of their haterade. I mean, the Seahawks stink. I mean, come on, Geno sucks. It's like, a win's a win's a win. Have you been following the NFL? Good teams have bad records. Bad teams have good records. Mm. Things are up and down. There is no win in the league right now that I'm going to scoff at.
Yep.
And to win shorthanded on a short week, given everything that's gone wrong right now.
A division game.
With your third string running back for the second half, I'm not saying a damn thing. I am thrilled that we won this game. Headed into what I believe to be one of the big soul games of all time. They need this for their soul.
Trust, we'll ramp up for Kansas City on Monday. We've got a lot of thoughts on them. Bosa hinted at it, saying, I haven't beat them since I've been here. Be nice to get one. Next week's a monster game, a massive game. We'll get into it all.
I'm so glad they didn't look ahead, though, because this could have been an easy spot
but it's easy.
Look ahead. I know it's Seattle, it's a divisional, but they needed this so bad for their psyche.
Coming off that bad loss to Arizona, playing the divisional opponent in Seattle, where you got to travel on the road to Seattle, and you get your stars playing like stars. I got another nuggy nug for you with Brock Purdy. We keep talking about how he's been successful against Seattle. Well, four games versus the Seahawks in his career, he's been dynamic.
Give me the numbers.
Dynamic. In the regular season numbers here. Passer rating of a 114.3, Brock Purdy.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
1,049 yards, 8 touchdowns, 2 picks in 4 games against Seattle.
Wow.
I mean, come on. You got Deebo, you got Kittle, you got Purdy. In your division games, they own Seattle. Let's get to Shameless shout-outs here on the Morning Roast on a Payday Friday / Victory Friday on the Morning Roast.
It's Friday.
Yeah, I'm a shameless, horrible human being.
Your chance to shamelessly shout out whoever or whatever you want.
I need to shout out somebody. I forget their names. They would know who I am if they're listening.
It's time for Shameless shout outs on the Morning Roast.
Well, you know you make me want to
start this off. Let me start this off. I want to shout out specific 49ers. Malik Mustafa, interception, first drive. Darrell Luter, punch out. Bethune from Florida State, 7th round pick, recovery. Garendo, I mean, the guy was running so hard, patient, tough. Dominic Pooney might be a Pro Bowler this year.
Do you know Dominic Pooney has yet to allow a sack in 218 pass blocking opportunities? He has not allowed another rookie, a youngster. We don't even talk about him as a rookie no more. He's just penciled in as your right guard for the next 5 years.
I've seen more plays run to the right side this year than the last four.
Pooney is a stud.
Absolutely. Jacob Cowan returning kicks and falling all over himself like he's Jordan Poole, but that's okay. I'm giving him love.
It's a good experience.
And then Renardo Green making plays. Shout out the rooks and the young guys having an impact in this game.
I'm shouting out Nick Bosa. I've called you out at the 49ers Summit. I said you were the most important player this season. This week, I called you out saying we need more. We don't need you making excuses or talking about adjustments. And the coaches pushed back on Nick Bosa this week. Sorensen and Shanahan. But you know what, number 97? You showed up. You started playing well. You set the tone early in this football game on the first 3 plays. I said, wow, number 97 is in that backfield. Nick Bosa, I'm shouting you out. What a game from you last night. And that's what we need moving forward. Now it's time to lock in on Kansas City. But what a performance from your captain, your defensive player of the year in Nick Bosa. What a performance last night in Seattle.
Yeah, I'm going to shout out. So my final thought yesterday was I'm basically calling out Kyle Shanahan. Show me something cool. Show me something interesting. Well, I got to give a shout to Kyle Shanahan. You delivered there. You showed me what you could do with these running backs, or reaffirmed what you could do with these running backs. You got this season back on the rails there. So shout out to you, Kyle. You get your cookie today.
You know, I'm thinking like Kyle, like, I've got to shut up Sam Lubman. Like, that's how he's designing the play call.
I'm playing chess. They're all playing checkers. That's how we do it here.
It did feel like they were eager to shut some people up yesterday. Juszczyk, Debo, and a lot of other players
here. Shutting us up.
Let's go to Shameless shout out. Let's go to Nick in Berkeley. Who's shouting out, Nick?
Let's go, baby.
Man, shout out to Shanahan for running that fullback lead, man. I love that. I almost fell off my chair. And shout out for the whole team going Solomon Grundy, coming out the swamp and just putting it down in Seattle. Now, you know, we put in the field. That's the real team. We played with urgency. We played with desperation. And the goon squad came out. I just realized we got a team full of goons right now. So keep on going, Solomon Grundy, on these cats, man. Let's do this.
Let's do it. Let's go to Christian Nashville. Christian Nashville, who you shot down today?
So much.
Hey, guys, morning. It's got to be Shanahan. I mean, we came on here that Monday after the game and against Arizona and ripped them. And that guy's back was up against the wall. So, you know, kudos to Kyle Shanahan. And, by the way, I love the fact that you just scored at the end there. Everyone's, like, taking these through that.
Yeah, screw that.
You go in, you score anytime
totally
you can.
Yep.
But when you lose to Arizona by one, you score everything you can.
Absolutely. Good call, Chris. Let's go to our boy Duke in the city. We're going right
down
the list here. Duke, what's happening?
Come on, man. Golden Boy. Come on, man. You already know what we're doing. Golden Boy, my birdie not stumbling and bumbling and acting like my love, getting the bullets that he passing. Got firing, got gas, and now it's getting drastic. Are you catching balls in the middle of the traffic? Then there's George Kittle with the laser light vision. He's slipping and he's trying to make executive decisions. Got Nick Bosa. They say he's a roaster. Quarter burn back like he came out of toaster. He's faster than Ferrari. But he's got the pool by David Bacciari. Watch Depot run fast, right fast. You receive it, not the back. Stronger than the manager. Leaving in the car to smoke. That is what we ain't no joke. Touchdown, what they say. Fall down in Seattle, now we're back to the Bay. Come on, Niners, let's go back to the winning way. The young cats keep playing and doing what y'all doing. Now y'all playing Niners football. Get your head on their face and smash their neck. Let's do it.
Let's go, Duke. David and SF, how do you follow that up, David? That's some tough shoes to fill, David. Follow them up, David. I know you got something.
Yeah, well, you know, like that felt like the old 49ers, the ones we used to count on to win every week. So it was very refreshing.
Absolutely.
And shout out to the whole team.
Absolutely, David. Shout them out. Zach in Redwood City. Zach, what's happening?
Hey, guys. I wanted to give a couple shout-outs and ask a question. First of all, shout-out my 6-0 Indiana Hoosiers, baby. And then shout-out the Niners front office for finding this diamond in the rough, like Dominic Pooney. Like, how do we find these guys? Malik Mustafa. And my question is, would you guys rather keep D'Amino Lenore at this moment or Tre'Davious Ward?
I want to keep them all. But you know what? I want to keep D'Amino Lenore. That's a question I'll answer in the offseason.
I think he's the best player no one talks about.
Tre'Davious Ward for this season. And we'll get to the offseason and we'll figure out who's who and who to pay and who we want to keep on this roster. But D'Amino Lenore is a younger player. There's no doubt he's going to be a Niner for a long, long time. But that's a question I'll answer in the offseason. All good vibes today, because we're going to need all hands on deck. All hands on deck if we want to make this run. Now, we're taking it a week at a time. You got back to 500. Got two games before the bye week. 4-4 feels great. 4-4 feels great. But can they possibly go on a little winning streak here to feel good before the bye week? And it starts with Kansas City, something we'll get to on Monday. But right now, we're recapping.
I'm not scared.
What happened against Seattle. Who you're giving your game ball to? How about the performance by Shanahan and Purdy? What'd you think about Kittle and Debo? How about that Nick Bosa yesterday? Boy, you needed a big game from him, and you got one on primetime television. And then the youngsters showing off and showing out up in the Seattle as they own the 12s, beating the Seahawks six straight times.
You know who's not getting a game ball? Al Michaels.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not. But you can focus on that. I'm a chill and enjoy this win. Injury report time.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, right? Helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
You know what, 650, Comcast Business Text, a couple other shout-outs before the injury report. Can I can I get a big shout out to my son Chase and his fellow 10U Mountain House Stallions tackle football? Most of them, it's their first year playing tackle and come so far since the beginning. Proud of you are. Let's go, Mount House Stallions and Chase. Good stuff out there. And also, shout out to my amazing wife who deals with our four kids, two of which are three-year-old twins. Even though she's a diehard Lions fan, our beloved Niners are her second team, and she loves the morning roast. So shout out to her as well.
It's shout Robbie. Out to my wife, Crystal, and children, yep. Kara and Cairo, if I'm saying it, Cairo. Yep. They are sick right now, but the Niners make us feel a whole lot better.
Bang, bang, Niner gang. Bang, bang, Niner gang. And Robbie, far away. What up, Robbie Dizzle? Wanted to shout out Steven Rizzotto for becoming a 95-70 game producer. Steven Rizzotto, that's right, just hired. And shout out, hey, Chatsky, yay! I was walking by the studio yesterday at breakfast. I was walking back to get my car, and his car just pulls over on the side. I'm like, who the hell is that? You know, I'm from the hood, man. When you pull over like that, I'm thinking, somebody about to hop out and try to get me?
Hi, how are you?
It's this dude, this kid named Tay. Name is Tay. He's driving a four-door, I want to say Acura or whatever. Maybe I could be getting it wrong. Pulled over, rolls down the window. He goes, hey, Bonte, man. He goes, hey, Bonte, man. My name Tay. I'm a roaster, dog. I'm a roaster. I said, man, right on, Tay. He goes, you know what? You're not rich, but you famous. You the man, Bonte. Keep holding it down on the roast. Tell Shasky, I said, what's up? Tay pulled up on me. You know who you are. Said he was a roaster.
All right, now let's read the injury report so we can get back on time.
Hey, who the hell are you? I thought you break the rules all the time. What happened to me? I'm against authority. I break the rules. What happened to that?
It's the old me.
Oh, you changed in 24 hours?
I'm mature.
Oh, that fast, huh?
A win seasons me.
Jordan Mason, shoulder injury. Tried to return at the start of the third quarter, but was limited to one carry and was seen trying to get his shoulder loose on the sideline. Shanahan said after the game that Mason will undergo more tests today, which will give the Niners more of an idea of the severity of his shoulder injury. Boy, Jordan Mason, get well. He's a leading rusher right now in the NFL. Shoulder injury. We'll see about that MRI today. The injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California. Premier's workers' compensation law firm helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What is coming up in the game? Brought to you by Fairmount Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Your phone calls, 888-957-9570. What are some of the pros? What are some of the cons? Who are you giving the game ball to? Let's get into Shanahan Purdy and his big-time win over the Seattle Seahawks, 36-24. We're all over it here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.
I am slippery.